In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Many happy returns to you all. Today, actually, we're feasting many things. We're celebrating, of course, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're celebrating his ascension into the heavens. And we're also celebrating the feast of the Lord's entry, or the feast of the Holy Family into Egypt. And this return of our Holy Family into Egypt is a joyous occasion, not because we are originally from Egypt, but because it's a sign of hope and acceptance and renewal, in which Egypt, of course, in the Old Testament was kind of like the cursed land, and it fulfills the prophecy which was spoken in Isaiah, saying that out of Egypt I called my son. So it's a sign of a new beginning and a transformation from death to life. However, I'd like to focus a little bit today in the sermon about a passage that we read in today's gospel. And being the last gospel before the Holy Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit descends on the apostles in the church tells us and leaves us with this message, kind of like the last thing you know, that you hear before you go or before you hang up on a phone call. There's this last message. So the church leaves for us this message and says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Actually, overcoming the world is something that Christ did because of his death and resurrection, but also he gave us participation in that overcoming. And I think one of the biggest struggles that we all struggle with, including myself included, is this issue of spiritual neglect. So I want to speak today a little bit about overcoming this spiritual neglect. And if we overcome spiritual neglect, then we can really overcome the world and all the temptations and desires that we're faced with every day. So, if there is, you know, one type of person in the world that maybe we can say rarely succeeds in life, it's a negligent person. It's a negligent person. A person who's, you know, very negligent, whether it be, you know, a physician who's practicing, and as you see in the slide there, he's negligent and forgets the surgical utensils in the patient. This can be a big problem for the patient, obviously, and also for the doctor. So the lack of, because of negligence, it can be very costly. A driver who is driving while texting, which is very common, or on the phone, I'm guilty of this myself, but I'm trying to stop, I confess. It can be very costly. Again, if you look at the picture, you know, nobody wants to be in this situation. Nobody wants to be in a situation where I injure another person because of something that wasn't really important. This is negligence. And actually, in the Igbeya, the church teaches us to pray in this manner. The soul prays for itself, or we pray for ourselves. In the 12th hour, we say, what answer will you give my soul while you're lying on the bed of sins, negligent in disciplining the flesh? So there's some repercussion for the lack of, for the negligence of disciplining my flesh. And also in the liturgy, the priest says an inaudible prayer right before the beginning of the divine liturgy. He says, we ask and entreat your goodness, O lover of mankind, that this mystery which you have administered to us for salvation may not be unto condemnation to us or to any of your people, but unto the wiping out of our sins and the forgiveness of our negligence. So the priest is asking for forgiveness for his negligence as well as the people's negligence. So this is something that is certainly important, something that can have major ramifications if we don't pay attention to it. So that's why I'd like to focus a little bit about that today. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. So whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Do it diligently. Don't do it just half-heartedly. Also says, no one having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So this is starting a job and being negligent in it. putting your hand on the plow and saying, okay, God, I'm gonna ride on your sled. I'm gonna be with you. And then we end up, you know, looking back, similar to Lot's wife. So he says, those who are negligent are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. It's, you know, it's scary. It is. But we have to be serious. If we're negligent in our work, guess what? We might get fired. If we're negligent in our school, highly likely that we won't pass. Any part of our life that we're negligent in and we don't do wholeheartedly and with diligence, then we're at risk for losing it in one shape or another. So what's negligence? What does it mean when I say negligence? Do I mean ignorance? No, I don't mean ignorance. Ignorance is different than being negligent. Of course, you know, because of ignorance, you can lead to negligence, but they're two different things. It's defined as to fail to care of the failure, to fail to take care of or to give attention to someone or something. So it's fair to take care of something that's been entrusted to you or something that you know you're responsible for. If I'm responsible for this particular Sunday school lesson, then it's up to me to prepare well for it. So if I don't, then that's negligence. It's up to me as a parent to protect the house that we live in for my children, so they're not exposed to different temptations from the internet and friends that come over. This is our responsibility. So when we don't do this, you're considered as being negligent. So it's knowing your responsibility and failing to do so. Also, it's defined as not to pay proper attention to. So not to give something the appropriate value or attention that it deserves is being negligent. We all say we want to go to heaven and we want to sit, you know, at the right hand of the Father when he comes again. This is something that all of us, I think, commonly have as our goal. But what do we do to strive to prepare for that day in which we will meet him? Or are we negligent in our spiritual, you know, disciplines? What are the consequences of negligence? What can happen to me if I neglect my spiritual life? First is that it lowers our defenses. It lowers our ability to fight against the enemy. It says in 2 Samuel, it says, and it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David remained at Jerusalem. So actually it was David's responsibility as the king to go fight in the battle. But because he was negligent and he ended up staying behind, and he said, let my men go, I'm going to stay behind. We all know how the story ends. He commits sin with Bathsheba, and then he murders Uriah. So a whole string of sins. So when we're negligent in our spiritual life, it lowers our defenses. It lowers our ability. I think had David, if you look at the rest of his life, this guy was, you know, amazing. You know, he was very humble. He was very pure. He was very loving. He was very merciful. Even Saul, the guy that was supposed to kill him, many times it says that he tried to pin him against the wall with a spear. And David was like, no, he doesn't want to kill me. He's very kind. And then when he fled, he had a chance to kill him, and he didn't. So his ability to fight Satan and the temptations were elevated when he was awake, awake spiritually. But the time where he was negligent, it lowered his defense mechanism, his ability to defend himself against the enemy. Secondly, the consequence of negligence is that it negatively affects others. It negatively affects others. It says again in 1 Samuel, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. Here is speaking about Eli. Eli the priest was very negligent when disciplining his children. They committed vile things in the temple and things that were horrible. And all he did was to tell them, why are you doing this? And that's it. He asked them, why are you doing this? They didn't respond to him, and that's it. He failed to discipline his children. It's not enough for us to say, you know, Habibi, this isn't right. But see, there has to be some consequences. So when we fail to discipline our children and to teach them, you know, how to maybe obey and subject themselves to authority, and how to obey maybe somebody, an elder. It's very tough when we're here in these camps that some of these children don't listen to the chaperones. This tells me that these children probably don't listen to their parents because they can't submit to any authority. So we need to teach our children how to submit, whether they like it or not. We tell them, yes, we'll listen to you. Yes, your opinion's important. I understand how you feel, but I think it should be done this way, and this is the way I want to do it. And they should say, okay. But we need to teach with diligence, and believe me, if you don't teach it when they're young, kursan tayyib, as they say. So it negatively affects others. And of course, I mentioned the many examples how we can hurt others, like when we're driving or doing any other responsibility. Also, the third consequence of negligence is that it may be forgotten by God. We might be forgotten by God when we are negligent. It says in the book of Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children." So the part that, of course, is of interest is the part on the bottom. "I will also forget your children." So yes, you might say, oh, okay, I want to hear he's speaking about, you know, knowledge. But here it's the lack of knowledge, not because they didn't know or ignorance, but because the information was there and they didn't access it. It's just like a teacher that gives a student an open book test, right? And he comes back and he fails the test. You have no excuse. The book is there and you have all access to it. It's your fault for not accessing the book. So here, the people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge and for not passing down that knowledge to their children. Their children aren't forgotten simply because they're children, because of our negligence. That's why they were forgotten. Also, it says, St. Paul tells his disciple Timothy, "God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So always have to keep that in our mind, that God desires all men to be saved. But it's our responsibility to gain understanding of God's commandments, to understand them. Many people say, "Abuna, I don't really like reading the Bible because I don't understand it." Are you the only one that doesn't understand? Many people don't understand, but many people don't understand and they seek the answer. There's a difference. If I don't understand, I seek the answer. I want to understand. If you read something in your textbook in school or for a job manual and you didn't understand it, and you didn't go and ask anybody or seek answers, then you will still be held accountable for that information that you did not know. So why is it any different when it comes to God's, you know, commandment in His book? The fourth consequence of negligence is it prevents spiritual growth, or it hinders our spiritual growth. St. Paul says to the Hebrews, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised by to discern both good and evil." And again, the part that's highlighted here is the important part. He says, "who by reason of use," who by reason of use. So those people who use the knowledge and those people who read the scripture, those people who use it will keep it. As the saying goes, you don't use it, or what is it? You lose it. Abuse it, you lose it. You guys get the idea. So if you don't use it, you lose it, right? Is that it? That's it. So again, if you don't use it, you lose it. So again, who by reason of use, having their senses exercised, just like an athlete, if they exercise and they keep using their muscles will get accustomed to being used in this manner and they'll grow appropriately. To discern both good and evil. So when we read this scripture, it gives us an understanding to be able to discern between good and evil. So when you look at people that say that transgender identity is good and that's something that we should support, when you know God's commandment, you say, no, this doesn't make any sense. What's right is right, what's truth is truth, what's false is false. is false. A male is a male, a female is a female. It's not up to me to determine what truth is. If I have problems dealing with that, then you can seek help. But the truth is the truth. So it helps, it hinders our spiritual growth. When we're negligent with reading scripture, negligent in our prayer life, that hinders our spiritual growth. Fifthly, it risks our salvation. Our salvation could be at risk because of our negligence, our spiritual negligence. Again, St. Paul says to the Hebrews, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" If we neglect our salvation, the means of salvation, if we neglect it, how are we going to face God? He says, "I gave you everything free. I gave you my body and blood here on the altar for free, and we neglect to come on time to church. I gave you my word for free." And actually, if you look back in history, his word wasn't free at most times in history. Many people didn't have the Bible in their hands. And what people, some people did to attain a copy of the Bible, we would be, astounded to hear their story if we knew. Many people didn't have the Bible that we have. So he gave it to us free, so we'll be held accountable for it. He gave us access to repentance and confession. Again, we'll be held accountable for it. So this could risk our salvation, our spiritual negligence. So what are the reasons for being negligent? Why is one negligent? First is the lack of interest at the task at hand. A person might lose zeal, spiritual zeal. They come, I was zealous maybe when I was in high school or middle school, but khalas, now that I'm an adult, I lose that zeal or that fire. Losing interest in the task. I don't feel as if it's significant. Yes, we all say and confess with our mouths that this is significant because it leads to my eternity. But what we do about it. If I were to ask you, if you were seeking a promotion at work or seeking your degree as a college student, if I were to tell you this promotion and this degree, is it significant? You would say yes. And I would say, show me. So you would say, okay, look, Abuna, here's my report card, or here are my grades. I've gotten all these. If I was your boss, you say, here, look at my performance. I did A, B, C, and D. But when I say, if God stands before us and says, is this salvation significant? And you say yes, he's going to say, show me. I hope we're not going to be stand before him and say, So lack of diligence, one of the reasons for this negligence is that we lose interest, or there's a lack of interest. Also becoming double-minded. There's something else coming into my life. There's something else creeping into my heart where it takes part of my mind. It takes part of my heart. And this could be any kind of addiction. This can be any love for anything else in this world besides God. We become double-minded. And we can, most of us, or a lot of us, we come to church and our minds wander off, me included. But what do we do? Do I facilitate this wandering mind? Do I sit on my iPhone or my iPad? Or do I think about work and plan things out for work and while I'm here in church? Or when I realize that I'm, distracted, do I come back and say, no, I need to focus. I need to focus. So what is it that's creeping into my heart? So become double-minded. Become lazy or indifferent. We just kind of go with, okay, I'm satisfied with being entertained with the PlayStation, Xbox, or whatnot, or the internet. And khalas, I'm okay with this. And this leads into laziness spiritually in every other aspect of your life. So laziness or indifference. Also inadequate training to complete the required task. So somebody who's ill-equipped to handle the task maybe of their salvation. And again, a lot of this falls on the parents. Do we teach our children how to pray, even when we're tired? Do we teach our children how to read scripture, even when time is short? Do we make time? Do we as a family read together? If the family reads together the Bible every day, I can almost guarantee, and prays together, I can almost guarantee that the child will do the same when he leaves the house. Instead of coming to Bunabuna, of course it would be too late. My son's off at college or whatnot, and daya. But if we teach the roots, the plant will flourish. We must nourish the fruits while they're in the house. Lastly, the reason for negligence is fear. Sometimes it's just, you know, fear. I remember when Tasoni and I, we had Joshua and we were in the hospital. And, you know, they told us, you know, he's got to stay for an extra day. So we're like, okay. So then we go the day, we go to pick him up from the hospital. And then we're ready to take him home. And her mom was with us. And Sharon looks to her mom. She's like, Mom, what do I do with this child? And her mom's like, Enafekira. You know, so we're like, oh, man. So we were so scared of what's coming when we get home. So, you know, of course, you know, we might have neglected to, oh, we forgot to get this, we forgot to get this, because we were scared of this new thing that we were coming upon. So sometimes we might neglect out of fear, but this might be because maybe our weakness. But let's seek the help that we need if we have these certain fears. Let's not live with these fears and say, I'm scared God won't accept me because of my past. He will. Let's come and seek help. Let's seek forgiveness. Let's seek counsel. So, fear. Also, people fear because of the confrontation. They're scared to maybe stand up to this being negligent because of it might lead to a certain confrontation. They're scared maybe because of responsibility or accountability. You know, I'll be accountable if I speak up and address this issue. But at the end of the day, whether you speak up or not, you will still be held accountable. So it's in our best interest to overcome this fear and to seek help if I need it. Lastly, okay, how do we overcome negligence? How do we overcome? First is self-examination. Let's take a look at myself and see in my life. I'm speaking here spiritually. You can apply this to other means, but I'm speaking here spiritually. My spiritual life, what am I negligent in? We have to sit down and do a self-examination. How diligent am I in reading scripture? How diligent am I in my prayers? How diligent am I in attending the services on time and early? How diligent am I in even taking communion? How diligent am I in, you know, sharing the word of God with other people that might be in need? Self-examination, that's the first step. The second is set an achievable action plan. So, okay, I don't read the Bible, okay, as much as I should. I read it maybe once a week. And I know I should read it once a day. So setting an achievable action plan would be like, okay, I'm going to set an alarm. I know I get home at 3:30 or 4 o'clock from school, or I get home at, you know, 5 or 6 from work. By the time I'm ready, after I feed the kids, I know I have a little bit of free time at 9 or 9:30. So my action plan is I'm going to set an alarm or something on my phone or at home. And when it rings, I know this prompt is to read the Bible. So I set forth an action plan and I want to fulfill it. So the first, we have to do self-examination. Second is set forth an action plan for us to do. Third is to hold yourself accountable. Many of us, we say within ourselves, okay, this is my action plan. But there's no sense of accountability because this is just between me and myself. We have to maybe incorporate our parents or incorporate a friend who can be accountable, that we can be accountable to. So when we don't do it, they can say, hey, what's going on? And this is the whole idea, as we spoke in the family session, about the whole covenant eyes, the monitoring system online that monitors, you know, our internet usage. We give somebody else the password and access to the websites that we have visited, so we know we will have somebody to be held accountable for. Just this alone will encourage us to strive to be better. So we can do the same with our spiritual life as well. Also, fourthly, how do we overcome negligence is to know our limits. Know when to say no. Sometimes we don't know when to say no. We take on too many tasks, and then we do all the tasks, you know, just half or a quarter of a job. Know when to say no, and know when to postpone, You know, it's just all about, you know, how you manage your time. If you can't do it wholeheartedly and to completion, just apologize and say, I can't quite do this at the moment, but I'll do it at this particular time. So know your limits. And lastly, surround yourself with godly people who are not negligent. Negligent people will influence me to be negligent. But if I surround myself with people who are not negligent, who are diligent and maybe in their spiritual practices, this might rub off on me. The Bible teaches us that evil company corrupts good morals. But I think good company would foster good morals. So surround ourselves with the people that we want to become, not the people maybe that are popular. May God grant us the ability and through His grace that when we face Him, we can face Him and say to Him that I wasn't negligent in what You entrusted to me. And He will say to us, good and faithful servants, you were faithful over a few. I will come enter the kingdom or the paradise of delight. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.